Good morning. My name is Jerry Phillips, and today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What behavior did you have growing up that you said was absolutely necessary for you to be a Christian? What should we wear? What should we look like? What should we sound like? What should we say? What should we not say in order to look like, sound like, personify what it means to follow Jesus? My name is Keith Harcombe, and we're on our first week in our new series, Deconstruction Zone. So I brought my hammer, my screwdriver here, so that we make sure that we start our deconstruction. Now, deconstruction is a popular buzzword right now, which talks about people, things they've experienced in the church, in growing up, and how they're now deconstructing the things that we have learned. What things have you learned growing up that you thought that if you did this one thing, behaved in this particular way, that because you behaved this way, then everyone would think you're a Christian? What was it that you'd say or not say that everybody said, oh, obviously they go to that church and they say that thing and that makes them that kind of Christian? What is it that you wore, whether you wore a tie, you didn't wear a tie, you wore a skirt that went down all the way to your knees, not to your knees, below the knees? What is it that you wore, said, how did you behave in order to be a Christian? In order for other people to say, oh, he or she is a Christian. Deconstruction is about deconstructing what we've constructed in our faith. And James Emery White from Mecklesburg in North Carolina, he put this series together, and we're kind of using and adopting the things that he has put in to this study on deconstruction. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about deconstructing our faith. Of course, there has to be a construct. What is it that we've been constructed with? How have you grown up? What church did you grow up? What kind of environment did you grow up? How was it constructed? And then later in life, when people realize something happens, a major tragedy, something happens in their life, then they deconstruct. And then after that, we reconstruct around Jesus. Amen? So there's three areas we're going to talk about in these next 6 weeks. What are we deconstructing about our faith? Obviously, there has to be a construct, a deconstruct. What should we deconstruct? and what should we reconstruct around? And we won't just use like a hammer and a screwdriver. We'll use this best tool right here, and I'm sure you'll all be happy that we're using that instead. What is it, and how have you been constructed? Now, James Emery White says that we are normally constructed and we normally deconstruct around three major areas. It's our behavior, our belief, and our belonging. What is it we feel like we have to behave like? What is it we feel that we have to believe? Maybe somebody brought you up and said, you must believe this in order to be a follower of Jesus. And the last one is, who is it or what is it that we should belong to? So behavior, belief, and belonging. When I was a kid, growing up, mother made sure we went to this little small church at Springwell Road Presbyterian Church. And our construct, our behavior, was that when we went to church, we wore our Sunday best. Now, I think we wore our Sunday best because in school, back in England, we had uniforms. So you didn't wear your uniform to church. And then our other clothes had holes in them on the knees and elbow pads because we were climbing trees and playing in the muck all day, you know? So I think we wore our Sunday best so that, like, we had decent clothes when we went to church on a Sunday morning. She always gave us money to put in the plate to make sure that we gave to the church because our church was broke and we didn't have anything. We couldn't even afford a pastor. Now, so they're not bad constructs, but then when we got to church, we sat at the back of the church because we wanted to chew chewing gum, and chewing gum in church was bad. We sit at the back, and my mother, when she would come with us, we'd sit in the back, and I think it's a small church, and she'd sit like over here on the left, and now and again, she'd look over her shoulder and be like, I'm watching you, Keith Harcombe. I'm watching you. You could see in her eyes. She was like looking at you like, and I could feel this pressure, like not to chew. I chew occasionally, you know, kind of thing. And you definitely couldn't say words like fart. And you definitely couldn't say things like hell. Especially if the preacher, even the preacher was saying it, then but you couldn't say it. And when you'd finished your gum, you didn't finish chewing the gum and then stick it under the pew. I mean, that was a big no-no. Don't do that. I see you. So there's some constructs that we grew up with. I remember one of the students that was in church, we were outside getting somebody else's car, and one other student dropped the F-bomb. And I swear that my mother was going to send that child to the burning lake of sulfur herself. What is it for you that it's a construct? Is it right? Is it something that is absolutely necessary for salvation? Is it something that holds onto your life like a bad piece of chewing gum? And you think to yourself, is that something I should deconstruct? So over these next 6 weeks, we'll be talking about some of the things that need to be deconstructed and whether it's biblical or not. And we'll find out that actually it's good for spiritual vitality in order for us to deconstruct. So this is the premise of our whole series on deconstruction. So behavior is important and something that we are constructed with. Nicodemus had a construct. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He'd been brought up all his life to be a good Pharisee. He was one of 6,000 people in Israel who was a Pharisee. He was looked up to as one of the great elites in the town. Not only was he a Pharisee, part of the 6,000, he's also a member of the 70 of the Sanhedrin. And he swore his whole life to uphold the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And that was the law, the book of the law. And his whole life was dedicated to upholding these five books. And then there was the things that went with these books too, which was the 613 laws and also the Talmuds. Now, they took an important vow. They took an important vow, our Pharisees, in order to uphold this law. And the vow that they said was this: the law is complete. It contains everything necessary for a good life. Therefore, there must be regulations to govern every possible incident in every possible moment for every possible man or person. And these were called Talmuds. The Talmud was a Babylonian Talmud and a Jerusalem Talmud. And in there were specific laws that the scribes had put together for the Jews to follow. The scribes wrote the laws, and the Pharisees upheld the law. In one of those Talmuds, there's 24 chapters on things that you can do or not do on the Sabbath. One of them is tying knots. If you're a fisherman, you couldn't tie a knot. And there's regulations what kind of knot you could tie. You could tie a knot on a woman's veil on a Sabbath, but you couldn't tie a knot for fishing. So this is the kind of thing that Pharisees upheld. This is the kind of life and construct that they had grown up with. And Nicodemus was at the top of the ladder. His construct had brought him to a place where everyone thought of him that he was regal, that he was noble, and he'd done everything necessary to be the kind of Pharisee that everyone wanted him to be. So you could say that Nicodemus had a serious construct problem. Any people following the 613 laws in here today? No, I mean, I was laughing. Like, what? I mean, I barely made it to church. What are you on about? Yeah? So it's important that you understand your construct and we understand Nicodemus' construct. Now, we're going to go to John 3, chapter 1. I just want to read the first two verses. This guy, Nicodemus, is a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee, like we said. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Now, think about the construct that Nicodemus has. Jesus is not one of the 70. Jesus is a rabbi that's kind of rocking the boat a little within the community. And the very fact that he even goes to see Jesus is starting a deconstruction in his life. And he realizes that he's gone to Jesus, gone to this rabbi who's been walking around and saying that he is the Son of God. And Nicodemus recognizes some of the things he is saying is just like the law that he's been upholding. He recognizes that he sounds like Yahweh. He sounds like God that he is trying to lift up. And so he goes to, I mean, the miracle at first is the fact that he actually even goes to see Jesus, this highfalutin, Sanhedrin-dwelling Pharisee. So he goes to see him, and in verse 3, after he said to him, we know that that God has sent you to teach us, Jesus replies, I tell you the truth. Oh, first of all, before we even get to verse 3, when does Nicodemus go to see Jesus? At night. Now, there's two reasons that he probably went to see Jesus at night. The first one is that maybe he just like a bit of one-on-one time with Jesus, because in the daytime, there's just like thousands of people following him and asking him for food. And he wanted to get with him late at night when he was like calming down. The other reason probably is the fact that he doesn't want the rest of the Sanhedrin or the other Pharisees seeing that he's actually asking Jesus some decent questions. Let me ask you the questions that are on my heart, Jesus. So it's nighttime and he's gone to in the evening to see Jesus. And Jesus' response to what he says to him is, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, wait a minute. Nicodemus didn't ask him anything in this answer. He didn't ask him about the truth. He didn't ask him about the kingdom of God. He just said, hey, you're a good teacher, and everyone else recognizes you're a good teacher too. And Jesus responds kind of weird with this, you must be born again to know the kingdom of God. It's almost as if Jesus knew what Nicodemus was really there for. He knew that there was some deconstructing going on in his head and in his heart. And he says to him right away, you know, you're a defender of the, you've been doing this all your life. You've dedicated your entire life to this. But to find the truth, to find the kingdom of God, you must be what? Born again. Or born from above. Or have a refreshment, have a renewal in your faith. Have a renewal in the way that you are following this law. Is this law giving you life? And he kind of knew, responded right away. He kind of knew what he really wanted him to do. Kind of knew what he was looking for. And he can't handle it. He can't handle the way that's he's talking to him about it. You need a fresh understanding of your Pentateuch, he says, of the whole Torah, of the whole mission of God. Maybe there's some rules in your life, something that you've been following all your life that you think need deconstructing. Maybe you've heard some things growing up and they didn't sound like, look like, feel like the love of God at all. They didn't feel like Jesus wanted you to be there. They made you feel lesser. They made you not feel like God loved you, but God was kind of always trying to catch you out. Nicodemus can't handle it. He can't handle this response to his question. And he says to him in verse 4, he says to him, what do you mean? What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. I mean, Nicodemus is beside himself. He says, what do you mean? I can't go back into my mother's womb, but that's kind of like what you're saying. I have to go back into my mother's womb to realize a new life. And Jesus is like, no, I mean, humans have the power to give human life. He says, they can reproduce, but only the Holy Spirit can give you a new life. And this might be the first time that Nicodemus is understanding the triune God who we believe in, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you must be born of the Spirit. So don't be surprised. That word there is my favorite Greek word, thamazo. Thamazo. Don't be in wonder. Don't be in awe. And don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born from above. Because this is why I'm here. You must be born again. Like Nicodemus is like, what are you on about? Born again? How can this possibly happen? How can I deconstruct what I've constructed my whole life around in this one moment, this one interaction with you in this home? What can I possibly do to be born again? He goes on to say, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. I like to imagine Jesus and Nicodemus here sitting at a table intimately on the rooftop of a house. It's a balmy evening in Jerusalem, and they're sitting there, and there's a candle lit. And all of a sudden, a breeze comes along and blows the candle out, and Jesus looks at him like, "Do you see? See that? The wind comes and goes as it pleases. But the Holy Spirit comes in and out with, and it's kind of hard to explain. It's kind of hard to understand how this, all of a sudden, this Holy Spirit fills your life and takes over all your rules and all your construct and everything that you've been brought up with, which doesn't sound like me. How can we explain it? How can we understand what this whole deconstruction thing is? How can we understand things of the Spirit? What is it that we must do in order to follow Jesus in the right way?" He goes on to say, "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asks. He says, "You're a respected Jewish leader, and yet you don't understand these things. You've gone through all the major education facilities, all three of them. Different people have asked you to mentor you. You've risen up in the Jewish elect, in the select few of 6,000 to be the highly trained professional. And then now you're in the Sanhedrin. You're one of the 70 people that actually gets to govern and install the law, which draws people to a right relationship with God, and you don't get it. You're a rabbi, you're a priest, you're a pastor, you're a religious professional, and you don't get it. You don't understand the things of God. You don't understand how God moves in and out like the wind, and the Spirit comes in and takes over your life. And if you don't get it, how are other people going to get it?" Sometimes the pros don't get it. If it's a pastor, a priest, a religious, a professional that's taught you other than the love of God, that's taught you that God is always looking out for you. He's like a hammer trying to destroy your way. If there's somebody that said that in a different way that God loves you, if there's a person who's showed you that God is a measuring God, who showed you that what to wear, if you don't wear this, if you don't say that, if you're not a kind of person that looks like what we want in our church, if there's misconduct in a leader's life, in a religious professional's life, if there's somebody that said something to you, a priest, a pastor, this church, in this denomination, another denomination, on behalf of all those people, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you heard that. I'm sorry that you heard something different than what God wanted for you. Sometimes the pros just don't get it. He goes on to say in verse 11, "I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" Now notice the word there. We're going to say it together, verse 11. He says, "I assure you, we? I tell you, Jesus switches. Who's we talking about? Who's Jesus talking about? I assure you, we. He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, him, Jesus, here, the guy he's talking to. God the Holy Spirit who comes in and out. And we can't explain it. We tell you these things about things on earth. We tell you things about what's going on. How can you possibly believe when I start telling you about heavenly things? What happens to Nicodemus after this? Well, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. I wasn't there. I like to hope that Nicodemus went away and thought about all of the rules he's been upholding all his life. All of the Talmuds and Mishnahs and the five books and all the different meetings he went to. I like to think that he went away and thought to himself, what does this mean to me? Is this moving me to a right relationship with God? How can I understand a fresh awakening, a fresh filling? How can I be born again from above? I bet you he did some deconstructing about what is really important. I know that he went to the cross and helped the other Pharisee take Jesus' body to the tomb. I know that he did some deconstructing about what it means to follow Jesus. What is it that you need to deconstruct about your behavior? What behavior do you need to deconstruct? So here's the homework for this week. Hopefully you heard me in responding to what Nicodemus responded and how some of the messages you might have heard were not from God. Here's your homework. Write down three things that you need to deconstruct about your behavior. It might be something as simple as don't chew gum in church. It might be something simple as Dad told me to wear a tie all the time I went to church. But it might be something deeper than that. People might have told you to act a certain way and look at it in a certain way. What is that for you today? So write down three things. And if you're confident after today, if you're confident, send them to me. My email's in the bulletin. It's kharcombe@phumc.net. Email them to me. Show me some of the behaviors you need to deconstruct. And if you don't tell me, tell the person you came with, tell someone you love, tell that person at the top of your texting list. Yeah, tell them. Here's some of the things, some of the behaviors I thought that were really important. But when we deconstruct our behavior, we reconstruct around Jesus, amen? When we deconstruct our behavior, we reconstruct around Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, come and speak to us today. Show us some of the places in our lives, in our hearts, where we thought our behavior was the way to get to you. We pray, Lord, like Nicodemus, we would understand a fresh renewal. We will understand to be born again, that we would understand that we need to deconstruct some things to reconstruct around you. We ask, Lord God, you would show us those things today. You would show us how that we can come alongside you, come closer to you, and have a fresh awakening of you in this Lent season. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all of God's people said, amen.